yellow color, is, that's a little help. Playing C and G and F. Reason I can't understand somebody playing them if you're right-handed here. You do all your crosswork this way. So if you're right-handed, why don't you stand over here?
Mm-hmm. How did you
learn to leave
playing,
if you left?
Down
first right? Time I ever walked up to one, was this end, you see. Nobody told me any different. I don't think anybody knew any different.
Where did you see the first one?
Oh, I've seen them lots of times, but the first one I ever tried to play was at Cedar Lakes Fair. Cedar Lakes near Ripley. Bill Wiley, maybe he lived right out here on Final Creek Road at the time, in Beverly.
He said, thing was setting in a booth, you know, like it's a fair booth, and right out here. And
somebody in the booth may have been playing it. It's the reason it was.
No, not really. I had borrowed it from Bill. Nobody was playing it. He wasn't there that year.
And well, I said, Frank, why don't you try
to play this instrument? He said,
No, they were wide open. Somebody broke the end off one of them. I never did fix it. They're just curled up like skis to keep from catching.
They're more flexible than these,
Dave. These others, I sat down and made in about 2 minutes with my knife out of hickory. the ones they use now. They're kind of crude looking. But once you start using, I said, you better figure on staying, you know, I mean, something where you get used to the lengths and the weights, then you're ruined when you pick up another set. It's like putting on somebody else's hat or picking up another fiddle. They all made the same, but they feel quite different.
Why don't you play a hymn the way you play
a hymn? Now, if you play a reel, you've got to learn a new system of hammering. It's no longer 1, 2, 3. See, a basic thing. Sailor's hornpipe. I think you can learn almost any tune. Of course, jig time is something else. 6/8 time, like any problem.
Black magic marker, and within 3 days she said she didn't need it anymore.
Oh yeah, you get used to it. You play from more feel than anything else.
Frank, is this, can it's you like, play a lot more keys? And a lot more keys on this, or what's the difference?
Yeah, a greater range.
I know there's more notes, but...
Here this A, here's an A, and over here's an octave low. Tune. The only thing it throws me is my keynote on the second string instead of the first one.
Could you play a waltz?
It's me one all.
Slower than 6/8 time. We've been trying to learn the
should be fairly easy. In fact, that'd be a good type team to start with, since you've got more time to look for your notes. Yeah. You can play Old Spring Wheel in this key. A, because you don't need anything below there. You're going to play Red Wing. You better play it in B, because you're going to need three notes below. See, so it's better to move up to that key for certain tunes.
Of course, when it's also more like this with a bass bridge, you can go down to the bass notes to get those notes you
want to
play in D.
Oh, yeah. I'm not used to it. You can go over here and get those others. Well, I like the way these are set up. This is a real good way. I wonder if is this Sam's design, or did he copy another one, or just think it up?
I can the bass bridges?
No, as far as the way it's tuned.
I think he learned the tuning
scheme. I mean, this was the way I would set one up if I was going to make it. So I agree with the way
it's tuned. He's inventing new ones now that are chromatic.
Oh my God.
These.
That's all we need. Sharps and flats, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's already done it.
How many?
That's a cymbalom, then. That's the same as the Hungarian cymbalom. They've got all the notes of him, they've got, and maybe some more.
Where did we see one had 100 and some strings?
Texas
string.
Lately.
Was that Marin County, that woman had it? That girl? Yeah.
Could have been.
You remember the one?
There's a whole bunch of Dulcimer players at the festival we was at in Marin County, California, north of Frisco.
That girl played Irish.
They had about four or five different sizes. Of course, the bigger ones had more range. What in the world does that say? Third annual?
Motley Musicalia. Musicalia.
We'll have that.
Harry Mitchell made one gift to Russell Fuhrer, and I've never found anybody can play it. It strung so wild, I don't know what the idea was.
Can you play him on
the hymn? A hymn takes all vibrato, I mean all staccato, all something.
Thank you.
as hard as you can. I know people that play all the way through certain tunes on the same string. That gets pretty monotonous.
You ever played?
You got the melody, and you got a lot of good rolls, but you know it sounded better to me to get some other notes in.
Exactly. If you ever played for senior people, probably some of you senior clubs and things, senior citizen centers, they like to sing along with the hymns. Nice.
Oh yeah, most old people can sing all the old hymns, so it's a good join in.
Hammered dogs can play. That's good style to learn.
They know the old music.
One of my friends observed some years ago
doing the heritage programs. When we would do various programs, we done programs at colleges and resorts, you know, the state parks here and yonder, and all over creation. And he remarked, did you notice how the old people and the young people really like dig this music? It was true, but the people in between didn't give a hoot about it. The little fellas liked it, loved it, and the old people loved it, but somebody, if he was between 40 and 35 and 40 and 60, 65, they couldn't care less. They'd leave as soon as you start the tune, you know.
Frank calls us the lost generation.
Age of idiots. my age of bracket. See, that's the reason they call me the anachronism. It's completely out of time, out of place. Mm-hmm. Out of time, not out of place, out of time.
Out of place sometimes, too.
Well, I have to check with you, man.
Why
do you think she follows me around all these things? Well, I can't think of any tunes. When you start on these things, start with the minstrel type tune, the 1-2-3, easier, the waltzes, see, and then progress to reels and hornpipes. I wouldn't worry about jigs till you learn to play all the rest of them. Now, people like Guy Carawan, and you all may know Guy, he's real good, and you may know Mary Faith Rhodes from Pennsylvania, she's awful good. I'm talking about fiddle tuners on belt. And this guy, best ever I heard, other than the Hungarians, is this Dalgleish from Cincinnati. Now he just plays anything you want to play, and he don't even have to look at it. He just sits down, you know, on the group. So he's got them all skinned. Of course, Sam and all of them. There's an awful lot of good ones, then there's a few outstanding ones. Now Hungarians will play their cymbal arm with two mallets in each hand. They get plenty of chords, you see.
How do they do that?
Well, they are usually rounded knobs, like drumsticks. It doesn't matter how you hold them, but you know they've got them somewhere like this.
Helps so you can get the harmonics.
You know. I can't do it with these. they'll hit thirds, and they'll have padded and unpadded both, and they'll change during the tune to unpadded to change the sound. They'll flip them over.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
And old timers dampen them with their hands, you know. They put the pedal on here, but they symbol on them as a foot pedal, like a piano. So he's got a foot down here to cushion the sound he don't want.
Wasn't there a cymbalom player in Marina County? Mm. Did you hear his?
No, he hadn't been banging his club.
Never
said
that.
A cymbalom is nothing but more than a piano with a keyboard left off of it. That's the ultimate dulcimer. In fact, it's probably not even a dulcimer. It's something else. Cymbalom.
Where can we ever see
the Romanians? The Romanians play a thing like Cleveland, Pittsburgh area.
Really?
Where these people congregate.
Any big city generally has a Hungarian restaurant, and more than often than not, they'll have a dulcimer, a cymbal player.
Yeah, this one where I am, but he doesn't play with two mouths. I'd love to see some.
In the old days, before the Habsburg Empire got broke up, they used to have them in parades. They carried them on the straps and marched playing them in the bands.
If you watch newsreels from, for instance, Frank has told me that this instrument, as ancient as it is, it's spread all over the world, nearly every country, and they call it one thing and another. If you watch the newsreels with great, you know, awareness, sometimes you'll see these. For instance, one time when we were leaving Vietnam, there was a newsreel, and somebody was sitting there playing an instrument, something
yeah,
like a hammer.
No, that was the last days
for a brief instance.
The last few hours in Cambodia, whoever the Americans were there pulling out in the evacuation, you know, they would show the Cambodian playing a hammer dulcimer.
And one time there was a physical fitness or some kind of a thing from China.
Chinese acrobatic group doing this country. And I kept hearing this music. I thought, that's a dulcimer. And right at the end of it, when they got all these unimportant names going by, in the program, you know, producer and director here, they finally showed the band. And here was a Chinaman playing the hammer dulcimer. They call it butterfly harp. I mean, it comes out there named English something like butterfly harp.
A lot of times they make it that looks like a butterfly.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Guy Carwin had gone to China for a while.
His what?
Guy Carwin had gone to China for a while.
Oh, did he? He'd been all over Europe. I didn't know he'd been going.
We did a series of concerts.
But the Chinese have them, and I'd assume the Japanese would. Their culture all came from China, if you want to dig it out.
I saw a big picture, a real long picture.
Southeast Asia.
Special photographs of just real long and narrow. It's made a special camera. A Mexican band, some kind of municipal band, half the musicians were playing a dulcimer, but this big.
Huh. Were they trapezoidal?
Yeah, they had lots of bridges that looked like they were chromatic.
Hmm. More power to them.
The interesting
I'll tell you where they're most, the mostly used, where they're really thought of highly is Eastern Europe, Hungary, Romania, and the Ukraine, and as far over as, of course, Turkey and Persia. Now, Persia has a marvelous thing called a santir. And it may be the oldest form there is, I'm not sure. Now, Mr. Messini, you know, talked to one of them, I was playing in Washington somewhere, and when he finished playing this number, he said, what's the name of the tune? And strangely enough, they don't have names for tunes as such. He says, that means the rain has stopped.
Rain's
the
what?
The rain has stopped. So the name of the tune is kind of a hazy thing, you know. It has a meaning, but not necessarily has a title. Unless you wanted to say, well, this the rain has ceased. You know, that's the name of the tune.
In 1963, when all this revival of music and crafts and things began here in West Virginia with the centennial celebration of the state, there was only one person we knew of playing a hammer dulcimer. And then we found two more. And one of them was, did you ever hear of Bill Frame in Huntington, who came from Scotland in about 1920? And he made dulcimers and he played it. I've got pictures of him.
He's still alive.
I might like to see him.
Oh, he's dead.
He died.
Last few years.
But
I've got a good color picture of him and his instrument.
There are two or three. I've got a little tape of him, too.
And Mr. Mayfield Moundsville played.
Of course, Frank's instrument is an exact copy of Mr. Mayfield's, which was 120-some years old or something like
yeah.
that. And then...
Well, Russell Fluharty's is of that family.
But his isn't like yours exactly, is it?
No. See, now mine is a copy of Mr. Mayfield.
Exactly.
Bill Wiley copied it.
And I have a picture of Mr. Mayfield in his harp.
But I think Mr. Mayfield's dulcimer came from the old Fluharty
probably
type in. In fact, the only There's only two roots that I can find in West Virginia Hammer Dulcimer, the Fluharty instrument and the Matheny instrument in Ritchie County. And old man Matheny made dulcimers and played them all his life. And but Ritchie County, they lived there, but his father had come from
where? Bath County?
I don't remember.
Bath or Highland.
Either Bath or Highland County, Virginia, to Ritchie. You know, almost due, almost an east to west direct movement. But it was close to West Virginia. It was one of the Virginia counties, I think, bordered. So that's the rich, that's as far back as I can take any two distinct.
Well, let me finish telling about the this was probably a Matheny one, but there was Bill Frame and an old woman who in Ritchie County, I don't know if you knew about that, who played it. And
she lived at Hunter.
She lived at Mountain.
Mountain, that's right. They changed it.
Had
it
been called
Mobile
the old Mountain.
And they changed it.
That's true. And so he's probably right. Matheny and the Fluharty are probably the only two.
I live up the mall.
And then you have a picture of a hammer dulcimer that John McConnell had in Tennessee. We've got several pictures of old ones.
I found them in Tennessee, North Carolina, and Kentucky, but they're very rare, very scarce. You see, the idea I get, and I can't tell much about it, the further south you go, the scarcer these get. And the further toward Pennsylvania or Michigan you go, the thicker they get. And of course, the people around Cleveland and Pittsburgh, we have a lot of people in the coal fields of Eastern European extraction that know people in Pittsburgh and Cleveland because a lot of their kinfolk settled there. And a lot of them came from these two big cities to the coal fields to work. There's a connection. And they tell me that this takes the place of a banjo up north in dance bands.
They say the lumberjack counties take them to the lumberjack camps because it's too heavy to take pianos and such.
So yeah, I've heard them called lumberjack piano, and especially in Michigan.
Any of you really interested in the old pictures or anything, well, I'd be glad to share those with you.
Then you realize
copies made. If anyone wants to go into depth in the study of hammer dulcimers,
you realize that who had heard Alan Jabour found a whole little town of dulcimer players in North Carolina, a little community that was hung up on hammer dulcimers. It's Ashbury in Randolph County, North Carolina.
Is he still playing
there? Probably. He hasn't been there for a while. But he couldn't find any in the surrounding territory. But here's this little community who gathers ever so often and plays hammer dulcimers.
And they call them mountain harps.
They're not mountain people necessarily. They're kind of like what we call Piedmont people. You know, they're between the high mountains of western North Carolina and the tidewater country of the east. They're kind of Blue Ridge or Piedmont culture. So you never know where you'll find them. But if you can get around Cleveland and Pittsburgh, where the Hungarians and the Yugoslavs and the Romanians and the Ukrainian peoples gather,
you're going to find them.
Well, there's a great center up there. You know, that's the old Grand Rapids culture, where they made them for years and years. And the most they could play but a few tunes on it, you know. It's always a one bridge with only about 18 notes and maybe 14 different ones. I think about four of them will be the same notes, you know, as you cross over. And you never did see a two bridge, or you never saw the string crossing, you see.
Well, yeah, you did too. Bob Martin's old dulcimer, that's another one too, of that picture was two bridge, and it had those little individual things.
Oh, but his was his was in a collection, and they didn't necessarily.
Yeah, he got it in West Virginia. He told me where he got it. I've forgotten that.
Anyway, I get the idea that the West Virginia dulcimer is a little more simple, you know, simpler, cruder type. Yes. Then Maggie Ballard had one. I don't know where she got it. She called it a continental.
dulcimer. It was two bridge. It wasn't chromatic, but it had a lot of range.
It looked
about
like
three
this.
And a half octaves.
Hold on. About the same kind of shape and size.
There's a fellow down in Mercer County that's got one he brought from Iran. Where is it? But it's not strung up right, it's not tuned, and they couldn't play it if it was. But he worked over there for the government during World War II in construction or some kind of military industrial complex, you know. So he got this from a native and brought it home. But it's just laying there.
Who's that?
Nobody knows how. Gerhard.
Oh, Mr.
Gerhard.
Yeah.
But it is a Santir, or would be something like it. He brought it from Persia. I have pictures of these things from all over the world. I have pictures of Turkish hammer dulcimers, but I don't have any recordings of anything. Mr. Matheny, if you want to find out about hammer dulcimer, you need to go to see Mr. H.E. Matheny at Uniontown.
Uniontown, huh?
Which is somewhere in the Canton area.
Well, I thought it was towards your back, but anyway, up there.
Well, in the Akron area. And he's an authority on this instrument, especially out of this country, you know, the European and the Asiatic.
He'll bang them for you, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he makes sense. He has a Icelandic longleek that he made because they no longer have them in Iceland. It's a kind of a plucked up.
A friend of mine found one in a neighbor's house after the neighbors had moved in out and turned it out from the trash. It's a very big, heavy monster.
They made everything back in the turn of the century to say.
Sort of bridge and a half.
Yeah. You'll find all the modifications and crosses of everything you can imagine that was made to sell by a mail order company and traveling salesmen. Ukuleles, zither harps, harp zithers, psalteries, and all this junk that they went around and sold to people and they put out in the corner crib and forgot about.
The one Bob Martin says is a bridge and a half, and I don't know. It was an awful bad shape. Seems to me like it's that piano.
My cousin in Tennessee brought one in one day in Columbia, Tennessee, made out of a dresser drawer. It was quite obvious that it had pulls on it. And they'd taken the drawer, which was fairly good, heavy construction, tight, and just put the top on it and then put the strings and braced it.
How did it sound?
Wasn't any strings on it. It had been abandoned and the rats built nests in it and deer had gnawed on it. And, Oscar Green.
Oh, yeah. Finished.
So you're liable to find them anywhere, but they just seem to me like the further south you go, the thinner. Yeah, it's like bandages, you know, they commence getting thick. When you cross the Mason-Dixon line or High River, the bandages start disappearing and the dulcimers start appearing.
Yes,
but these used to be great for dance band people. Whether you've heard dance band anymore, where they have piano accompaniment, just chords, you know, playing out. This used to take the place of them. Now they play these in who was it? You saw them in Austria, Bavaria.
We saw them in the German Museum.
Oh, well, I've seen them. I've heard them and seen them played in Bavaria, Switzerland, and Austria.
I saw them play in Switzerland.
Yeah. He knows how to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, hockbret, which means chop wood, and I don't see much. Well, hock means to chop, and I'm not sure what the bret means. Hockbret. It has something to do with the motion of the mallets, I think. And most of those Alpine people don't play complicated tunes. They sing and sort of chord along with it. They don't really get with it like the Hungarians. But Hungarians will play anything you want. Classical music, operettas, their folk music, the gypsy music. It don't matter. You want to hear Bach or you want to hear William Tell Overture, they'd be delighted to play on the cymbal. It's the ultimate. See, it's the national instrument of Hungary. It is to Hungary what the pipes are to Scotland, the national instrument. Scotland has the pipes. Ireland has the pipe or the harp or fiddle. They haven't decided that one yet. And Wales is the harp, and Hungary's the cymbalum.
Do you see them getting more popular for dances around here? Because up in Pittsburgh, they're really
Especially since Augustus started teaching. I remember, I said in 1963 when we started all this revival of things, there was only Russell Fuller. And then we found these Bill Frame and this woman in Ritchie County, and that's all anybody even knew of or ever heard of.
We have two people making them now, at least two. One thing that I want to say, a friend of mine who's very, I guess, the best person in the Pittsburgh area at this time, he started off with a single bridge, and he said he got one from, he got a double bridge one now, but he's finding it difficult to make the transition. You know, so he said if anyone really wants to start out, and they hope to get a double bridge someday, to get a double bridge right away, because it's really hard to change over.
Is that George?
George is making
you should really start with this type. I recommend starting with this setup here. That'd be my idea of what to begin with. No matter what you're going to play, this is the instrument to start with. But when I was growing up, nobody ever heard tell them in my area, dulcimer meant to pluck dulcimer. You'd see one now and then in the parlor somewhere. It's just an article of furniture, usually a desk with a lid on it, and you wouldn't know it's a dulcimer, somebody pointed out.
Oh, that's another old one. If you ever go to Glenville and go up, get the opportunity to go up through Fern Lawson's house, she has an old one sitting in her parlor. It's something, it's flat. It's not like, sheltered like these.
But they were a parlor instrument.
It's a table.
With legs. It looks like a
desk. Very ornate, very pretty thing.
Is it tuned up?
No. But it's a simple one bridge model.
It could be.
Could be fixed up.
It's not. She doesn't play it, so she hasn't.
These used to be a parlor type instrument, you know, before piano and organ. And I think they even used them in the churches before they decided to blow all their money on an organ or piano. But the word's out, like, wasn't you telling me about fiddles, you know, the prices and all? Are we talking about it? Or who? No, it was the other. It was a young man. Anybody talk to this fellow? Winter from near Albany. He was here briefly. He said the word's out on fiddles. Says you no longer can buy a good fiddle for $50 or $75. You're gonna pay $125 and on up. Because fiddling is the thing now. So the word's out. You got a fiddle, you know. And same thing's true of these in the last 8 years or so. It's just gone to the moon, which is a good thing, I guess.
Well, for that matter, it's only been the last 3 or 4 years that there's great upsurge of these.
Yeah.
And the little dulcimers, I can remember when we'd go to the fair, only one or two people had them. And now everybody nearly that walks in has a plucked dulcimer.
Well, nobody paid much attention to them. But Russell Fluhart started going to fairs and playing on programs, and they even took him to the Dick Cavett show one time.
Pete Seeger took him.
Or was it Dick Cavett? No.
Oh, no, it was
one of those,
the Frost, I think.
Yeah, David Frost. Mm-hmm. And that kind of got Howie Mitchell and a whole bunch of people interested in, you know. It just spread like, it sounded like busting a sack of spiders.
But actually, our best workshops done were to spread hammer dulcimers than anything else because it's taught people to make them. People from far and near playing. And then the gardeners have sold them a lot of places too, all over the east.
Did you bring your lap dulcimer?
Yeah.
Would you mind playing that?
Yeah, I guess I better. Well. See one of these around here and there, but not too many. I think people have the wrong idea about pluck dulcimers. They think everybody had one time, and then they sort of died away and then came back, but I've decided that there were very few of them to start with. Few and far between. I'm not sure about Kentucky or...
But, three different people around me.
Oh, no. Let's see, that'd be Nicholas or...
These are in Braxton. They're all in Braxton.
Braxton, yeah. Well, there was a maker there. You remember that typical...
Mr. James made golf clubs in Braxton County.
No, I mean the other style, like Shreve.
Like Jack
Shreve
Holman, yes.
And what's your name? One guy with one leg. Dye.
Oh, Wilbur Dye.
Remember? Now, those were Braxton County, no. Oh, I'm sure there were a few around. I don't think they were thick like everybody thought. You know, I don't think there were many. You'd see one every once in a while, but you couldn't hardly find anybody that played it. Be one laying around, you know. Well, who played the dulcimer? Oh, Uncle Josh. He's been dead 50 years. He didn't get around to throwing it out or burning it up or something. You know. I played that tune because I was tuning that basso, didn't I? Almost out like this, and he's looking at the thing almost in line. And you never saw such a note, and he notes with three and four fingers most of the time. It's unbelievable what he can play on the thing. Bach and all kind of stuff, you know. But I don't know what all is in here, but a lot of the old-timers didn't get much out of them. It's just wiggity-whack and one melody string. See, a lot of them were fretted only over here. And it's almost impossible to chord. You had to play with the noter. So I think that's what they were intended for. And if this is a dulcimer, why, what's this?
This neighbor of mine called it a top fiddle.
Hog fiddle, yeah.
Who calls it hog fiddle?
A neighbor of mine.
We've always heard that somebody, people in the play, and you're in Braxton. Know your name?
I'm Nicholas, this guy lives in Braxton.
Who is it?
His name's Carl Davis.
Carl Davis. Frank is the Braxton County man that comes to play the play.
Oh, the little old dried up.
Yeah, who is he? He's supposed to have been dead.
Thought he was dead and he showed up.
Well, what's his name?
Can't tell you.
Begins with B.
Can't tell you. I don't know if Mr. Maxson's living. There's a fellow in Upshire that built both kinds.
He's been, still alive?
He's been here to the workshop.
Now, he's one of the first people that I heard of in this state that made those old dulcimers. He and who was the Valor Bryant from Oak Hill, were the first two we knew about in 1962.
Mr. James made them, but they were almost unplayable. They were gigantic things.
Is Dr. Jeffries
Stanton? Stanton? I've heard of him.
Jeffries Dulcimer's.
Jeffries,
they used to handle those East River Mountains.
Yeah, I see those in craft shops around. He's one of the early ones. But you've got to know how to fret them. Mr. James couldn't play, and you didn't know where that fret was going to be, and most of his had to be operated on. So do. Dylan was fa so do, he dropped this string. And you could tune it to octaves to have your keynote open. Do do, do so do, or you can raise this one. So-so-do, and this tuning or the octave would be Mixolydian, and when I dropped it fa-so-do for Shady Grove, that would be Dorian. And there's two or three other ways to tune them. I don't know whether I can figure it out for you or not. I can tune it to play Greek music, but I don't know any Greek music. That'd be, you know, Aeolian or Lydian or Aunt Jemimian or something.
What Frank's talking about with words is the mode. We were talking about modal tunes. A lot of the old kind of music, they weren't tuned in normal.
I thought all tunes were in mode.
I thought all music was modal.
Well, what do you mean when you say a modal fiddle tune? You mean
that's just what a lot of, I guess, young people call it. Because most of those tunes are the Dorian mode. Which would mean
okay.
You start on a D note on the piano and play the white notes. Dorian mode scale.
Yeah, what would be a Dorian to you?
Shady
Grove. Yeah, besides Shady Grove. What would be a fiddle Dorian?
Foster.
Oh, okay. Ducks on the Pond. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In Miles Crafton's book, you know, he
has that whole section. But none of the older folks have.
No, they didn't worry about it. Still don't. I know I've heard a lot of versions of Barbara Allen, and the most interesting one was played on the Irish Illing pipes, and what the guy who wrote the cover apparently knew more about the modes than the musician. Maybe just commuted, probably didn't care, but anyway, he says this is in the hyperphrygian mode, whatever that means. I think hyper is above, over, and then I can't say anything. I can't go from there. Like subpoena. Anyway, that's what it says. So that's one of the... in other words, there are tunes that don't fit in this mode, so they have to put another word in front of it to try to clarify it, and all they're doing is muddying the water. I've got that Gene Ritchie book. She tells how to tune the thing, and then there's an example of a tune or two. And of course, the stranger the mode, the less tunes there are.
What was the name of that they had out there? The Pacific Ring.
And you can go up here past this note. You can lengthen that scale three notes, see? If you need to go lower in a particular tune in this tuning, you can always jump over there. What now?
Oh, he makes a different kind of thing. Anybody really interested in Little Dulcimer? Remember that book, the Pacific Ring Dulcimer book? Peter Tomer up in that
Oh, yeah. Written. Oh, they're doing some wild stuff with the Fluke Dulcimer. Of course, they've got usually more strings than three. They've got four and five, maybe six. After a while, you don't have a Fluke Dulcimer. You know, if you get a dozen strings, you've got an epinette devoisie or something there. That's interesting. In France, they have two dulcimers, the epinette and the epinette devoisies, or the Vosges Mountain, the mountain dulcimer, which is similar to our Pluke. While the ordinary epinette's the hammer.
Yeah, when I was growing up, Niles, I remember Niles taking cellos and cutting down the cellos and all their other kinds of instruments and stringing them like a dulcimer. But those sort of stopped being dulcimers.
Well, I think he calls them dulcimers, but a lot of them sure don't look like dulcimers. Yeah. Fiddler have fiddle bodies and all that. I've seen some pictures of it. I was only around him one time. He's a strange character.
Yeah.
Does he still in the studio?
Strange.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to people. He must be. He's not out in public very much. He doesn't belong in the public. No, he wasn't able to talk to people in the first place. Well, yeah, but I mean, is he a rare bird?
What I knew when I was growing up in the 40s in Lexington was when people had discovered it was acceptable to go play folk music in the Commons Room at Yale or at Harvard.
He'd been found, yeah.
And at that time, he decided that he was really a classical musician who happened to be a folk musician. Mm-hmm. And so this is when he was taking the folk tune. And a friend of mine, well, an older friend, was professor of music at the university. And so Niles would take the tunes in. And his professor of music at UK would orchestrate them for them, and Niles would put his name on them. And so this is when he turned out those things like the Black Symphony and some more of the Appalachian kinds of music, except for string orchestra and stuff like that. But he, in the last 10 years, you don't see him around very much at all.
Well, he was an old man when I met him, and that was 15 years ago.
He's been like that for a long time. He has this wife, he has a Russian wife. Takes care of her for 30 years.
UK, is that?
University.
United Kingdom.